2 Kings chapter 6, we left off this morning. Now, I just want to say a little bit and reiterate verse 16 and 17 in chapter 6 about this thing. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Don't ever forget that in the New Testament, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And you don't have to worry about numerical numbers or power, humanly speaking, or even demonic power. God is all-powerful, and he is the supreme power upon this earth, this in the universe. You don't have to worry about it. And then this thing in verse 17, we are often surrounded by things, circumstances, by, you know, problems. We're surrounded sometimes. And I'll tell you something, the worst deal is to be surrounded by spiritual just bombardment. When the Bible speaks of the fiery darts of the wicked, it's not joking. And when it says, and there's a reason that it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because your greatest battles, what's behind it. When somebody verbally assaults you, you've got to see past that person. That's hard to do, hard for me. But you've got to see past that, what Satan is using them to do. And then you also need to see spiritually God's purposes in allowing it to happen. Or when hard things happen to you. But what I will say to you is this, is that just pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see the reality, the bigger picture. And does anybody here do chalk talks? You do? Wouldn't it make a wonderful chalk talk deal, this story here, and you show, here's his servant getting up in the morning, you know, the little house. And then here's this great host of Ben-Hadad, you know, and they're all encamped, you know, and it looks real bad. But then the chalk, and boy, you know how they change the lights on those chalk deals. And then all of a sudden up in the mountains are the chariots of fire and horses of fire. That'd be a beautiful chalk talk to me. But I want to encourage all of you this week that no matter what you're surrounded by, and also when you get up in the mornings, make up your mind what you're going to see. Make up your mind what you're going to see. Am I going to see all the bad stuff? Am I going to see the host of Ben-Hadad? Or am I going to see the chariots of God? Which chariots am I going to look at today? There were chariots and horses. If you'll read it, there's chariots and horses of the Assyrian army. And there was chariots and horses of fire. You need to make up your mind which chariots you're going to look at. And that'll have a lot of determination as to your victory. Because let me tell you something. We're in a battle day by day, hour by hour. And boy, I tell you. Pray and let's pray for each other that God will keep our eyes open to the spiritual truths of God's word and the spiritual realities. Let's take off reading at verse number 18. And when they came down to him, now this is the host, this is the army of Assyria. Elisha prayed to the Lord. I'll tell you what, I wished I had the power of prayer Elisha had. He prayed God to open this guy's eyes to see those chariots of fire, and God opened them. This army comes down off of the hillsides, off the mountainsides there to his house. And he prayed, and what's this? And Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now watch this. One verse he's praying for God to open the eyes of a man. And the next verse he's praying for God to blind the whole army. And God is just answering that man's prayer. James chapter 5 said that Elijah was a man of like passions as you and I are. But he prayed that it might not rain. God uses him for an example of that a fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you see that in these men's lives. And I'm going to tell you something. I know those were the days of those prophets up, but I'm telling you, I still believe God can blind eyes and open eyes. I still do. And I still believe we'll pray, live righteously, and pray fervently, pray effectually. We'll see some amazing things done. And your kids need to see that, by the way. He said, and he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Verse 19, Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Now, we're going to open up a little basket here this evening. I got to ask a question a while ago of something, you know, kind of seemed a little murky in Scripture. And a lot of people, let me tell you, first of all, the framework from which you come to Scripture with makes a lot of difference. Now, I believe you ought to be honest when you're reading the Bible. If something don't look right and something looks contradictory, at least look at it. Be honest with yourself and don't just jump it and say, well, I don't care. You know, the Bible does not contradict itself, But there are some tough, tough passages. Okay? Let me give you an illustration. First of all, numerics in the Bible. Dating. Some of the tough ones that I've had to deal with is where it says this number and this. And where you really get into this is 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay? They have what's called, a lot of Bible deniers will say they're contradictions. Well, it says this over here and it says this over there. So they're not, it's, both of them can't be right. So the Bible's messed up and it's wrong somewhere. It's got mistakes in it. There's a guy, I can't even think of his name right now, but you can get it through Vision Forum, who is a biblical numerics person. And his whole life's thesis has been studying dating and chronological order in Scripture. And you ought to hear this guy explain these, quote, mistakes that a lot of people have in the Bible. And he said, he is amazing. Now, in order to do that, you have to understand the Jewish calendar. Because the Jewish calendar is not the Gregorian calendar that we go by. So it throws, and by the way, their months and the beginning of their year and the ending of the year is totally different than ours. I think the Jewish calendar starts, what is it, in April, sometime about mid-April, if I'm not mistaken. So we're not even close. We can't even think, you know, we start figuring stuff. It just doesn't pan out. And then there's a lot of other issues that come into it. And I've listened to him and he just astounds me. And he's an elderly man right now, but he has wrote, you know, a lot of his whole life's work has been on what, quote, problems in the Bible. And when it's studied out and rightly done, no problem. Every time. Every time. And, but I don't have everything figured out. There's a book I've heard of that's called, Contradictions in the King James Bible Answered. I'd like to get a copy of it. I think you can get it. I heard you can get it from Bible Believers, deal down in Florida. But anyway, watch this right here. Elisha said, verse 19, you say, Reggie, why are you bringing this up? We're going to have two or three things we're going to hit tonight. Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me and I'll bring thee to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. They take that little phrase, but he led them to Samaria, to mean that he lied to them. You'd be amazed at how many commentaries think that Elisha lied to the king here. He didn't lie to him at all. And to contrive that is, to, as far as I'm concerned, is coming to the scripture with the idea that your mind is above the Word of God and you've got a critical spirit toward God to start with, you wouldn't even think that. That's just the way I look at it. I'm just being honest with you. The fact of it is, Ben-Hadad had been after the king of Samaria, Jehoram. The fact of it is, Elisha said, I'm going to take you to him, and he did. He said, I'm going to take you to the person that, that little word when it says, but he took you to Samaria. They take that to mean that he was deceived. He said, oh, I'm going to take it this way, but he was going another way. It's not what it says at all. You have to really carve that up to deny that. You have to have an attitude that you have to be looking for God to make a mistake. You have to have an attitude, I'm going to catch God in a mistake. And that's not what he did. He literally did what the king was doing. He was warring against the king of Samaria, and he took him to him. Let's follow it in verse number 20. It came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see, and the Lord opened their eyes. I mean, he's talking about a man of prayer, amen? And they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now, watch this tonight and keep this in the back pocket. Samaria is the capital city of the northern 10 tribes. Jerusalem was the capital of the whole nation of Israel. But when the civil war happened and the 10 northern tribes and 2 southern, Jerusalem was the capital of the 2 southern tribes, Judah. Samaria was the capital of the 10 northern tribes. Keep that in mind. That's where he took him, where the king resided, the capital there. Okay, verse 21, and the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Now here's the king, and he's got, Elisha single-handedly brings the whole Syrian army into the capital city with blinds on them. Gets them inside the city. Says, now, Lord, open their eyes. Now, how would you like to open your eyes and find out you're in the middle of your enemy's city? And the king of Israel, you know what he says? He does what our flesh would do. Should I kill him? Should I kill him? What do I do now? What do I do with him? Kill him? Should I kill him? Now, watch this. Now, a lot of people think that when you get in the New Testament, this is a brand new doctrine when Jesus said, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him water to drink. I think it's a brand new doctrine whenever Romans 15 says, if your enemy hungers, feed him bread. If he thirsts, give him water to drink. They think, boy, that's a Christian New Testament doctrine. Not so. That was taught in the law. That was taught to love your enemies, to do good to your enemies in the law. Jesus was just bringing it up to speed because they were teaching people to hate your enemies. Now, watch what he says to do here in verse 22. He, that's Elisha, answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? He said, you know, if you took a captive, you don't go slaughter them. They're prisoners of war. You treat them as such, okay? That's where we get our deal about prisoners of war. That's why you just don't kill prisoners. Okay, that is a biblical concept. Gotten out of the Bible, all right? Look what he says to do. Set bread and water, and you can find that in Matthew, you can find that in Romans, that they literally just brought that back into play, that this should be reinstituted. It's an Old Testament doctrine. Treat your enemies, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. All right. And that they may eat and drink and go to their master. He said, what? You're going to let these guys, you're going to feed these guys and let them go? And verse number 23, and he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Good lesson there on how to deal with your enemies. Pray for them. Pray for God to blind them. Pray for God to open their eyes and feed them and send them back. Good lesson. I can preach on that. I'm not going to kind of jump it, but that's just the general thing here. It's a lesson in how to treat your enemies. Let me tell you something. I'll just give you this. You listen to me tight right here. In World War II, whenever Russia was coming from the east and the Americans' allies were coming from the west and Germany in the middle and the game was about up, how many knows what the German people were doing? They were trying to surrender to the Americans by the tens of thousands. They were running from the east. They were running from the east to the west to try to get in American military territories. Does anybody know why? The treatment, because Russia was treating them as an atheistic nation would naturally, barbarically do. The Americans were treating them biblically based. For instance, it was prohibited. You could get shot as an American soldier if you raped a German woman. But what were the Russians doing? Let me tell you something. If you ever want to read some horrid reading, read about when the Russians came into Germany on the east side. Thousands of women took their lives. I'm telling you, it's one of the meanest cases of history you've ever read in your life, because the Soviets came in with a vengeance of what Germany had been doing to them. They came in with a vengeance. But the American people, now this is a classic lesson. The American soldiers were working under the jurisdiction and power of a biblically based subculture. You don't do that. You don't slaughter those people. You don't rape their women. You don't pillage. Now, there was pillage done. We weren't perfect. We had some cases that were out of hand. But by and large, as a cultural military might, we were operating under the biblical presupposition. And by the way, did you know everybody we've ever whipped that we've rebuilt them? We went in and rebuilt, and I don't think we've done it right. I think there's some things you can do and there's some things you cannot do, but nonetheless, our attitude has been not to just come in and devastate and just ruthlessly take, you know, it's been to rebuild. It's the difference between a biblically based culture behind the political powers and a barbarian anti-biblical position. Okay? Now that's verse 23. Let's look at verse 24. And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. How many caught the, quote, contradiction? Look, watch your Bibles. How many caught it? How many sees the, quote, the unbeliever's contradiction right there? Anybody see it? Yeah, verse 23, it says, the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Verse 24 turns right around and says, and it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Well, in that sight, God made a mistake. He can't even keep his story straight, can he? And I'm going to tell you something right here. People that hate God, don't believe the Bible, have a heyday. Your atheist clubs, they've got this marked in their Bibles. Okay? Now, can anybody spot why it's not a contradiction?
It's a paragraph, and time has elapsed.
Okay, that could be one thing. It could be, but it said the band, the king of the war. Anybody see it? Previously, the first one, you have bands of Assyrians. Okay, hope, but there was a hope back there. But the bands, it said. What is a band? Band is the band. The word band there is kind of like guerrilla groups, small deals of that were marauders who were coming in and aggravating people in certain sections of the country. What the difference is between if they were pestering, they were aggravating, and God says specifically the bands. Your next verse says the host, the whole army. You can say, oh, that's just what you believe. What you're going to do? You're going to just. All I can tell you is you're going to stand before God. You're going to call him a liar, call him a liar. I'm just telling you, there's a difference there, and God makes the difference known there, okay? All righty. I'm doing this because let me tell you something. There's one thing I made up my mind about 30 years ago. I'm not going to get behind this pulpit and dodge issues in the Bible. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. Haven't figured that out yet. I could take you to Sunday night. I ain't got figured out yet. But you know what? I know God's bigger than me. I know my mind ain't very big. I flunked a few tests in my life. I don't know everything. I don't know much of nothing. And I'm going to tell you what, this is God's book. And just because I ain't got it figured out doesn't mean that God doesn't know what the deal is on it. Okay. Now, verse 25. So let's get started here. And, by the way, while we're on that, somebody mentioned a while ago that in Genesis chapter 1, there's an account of creation. God created Adam and Eve. And then in Genesis chapter 2, by the way, this is an area where the atheists have marked in a Bible. Because they say that gives it Genesis 1, it's a total different account than there is in Genesis 2. Okay? Let me tell you something. God gives you basically what I call an index in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, he gives you then the commentary on the index. He gives you more specifics and comes out. It's just like the Gospels. If you don't be careful in the Gospels, there's different, quote, supposedly contradictions in about the tomb and the resurrection and who came first and what they did. Now, I'm telling you something. I've been out on visitation and got hit with that. The guy says, I ain't been in church in 20 years, and I'm going to tell you why. Because over here in Matthew, it says Peter came over here, and then it says this and here, and then it says this and there. He knows all about it. He studied that. He don't know how to be saved. He don't know how to keep out of hell, but he knows that somebody didn't. It don't look right to me. And for 20 years, he's been sitting there on a, quote, contradiction, see. Let me just say this now. Somebody, and what was brought up was that in one place it says created, another place says they were made. Okay. Well, let me throw one at you. How was woman created? Was she created or was she made? Wait a minute. Let's back up. Adam was made out of the dust, and the dust was created. Was he created or was he made? He was both. And it says both. Right? Now, man's good. Man, what didn't Jesus, the Bible said, came from dust and we returned to dust. Right? It is all a creative act. And when God took Adam's rib and made a woman, beloved, that was quite a creative act, if you ask me. Amen? And it was still creation. It was still creative act. All right? And it was God that did it. And nobody but God could do it. But don't take, because it says created over here, and then it says formed out of the side of man, or that out of the dust did he make man. Don't take that as some kind of a contradiction. It is not a contradiction. God's just telling you what he did. You know what you ought to do is say, sounds good to me, God. I mean, we're like little ants looking up at elephants saying, what do you think you're doing? You know, I mean, we're like worms looking up, you know, at stars and saying, you're shining too bright. You know, and we are finite little bitty creatures. And we, you know, and to take those kind of things and say, and we could do a lot of things. What I'm saying to you tonight is this. I just pray that God will give you faith just to believe the Bible. And when you don't understand something, say, Lord, we'll understand it better by and by. But I know that I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me and I trust him as my Savior. And I'm not going to sit around all my life. Let me tell you, the biggest waste of your life is nitpicking on trying to find something that God's mixed up. Right? You're wasting your time. And at the end, what you're basically doing is saying God's a liar and you're trying to prove it in your own mind. and you're wasting your time. You're just wasting your life. By the way, I heard a good statement the other day. A man said, an atheist, Reggie, is a man who's never really thought about the world around him. He's never honestly thought it through. He's never really thought it through. He said, if he honestly looks at it, in fact, he said, no, he may be willingly, and it may not be willingly, but he said he has never looked at creation. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of truth to that. He has blinded himself. He refuses to look at the obvious. I mean, you just look all around you at the creative design that's in everything. Everything has a design. And when you pervert that design, that whole deal is perverted. And everything about, I mean, a tree. And I mean, I love what Ray Comfort says. You know, aren't you glad God didn't put watermelons up in trees and they fall off like acorns? They'd kill you. Amen. I mean, no, aren't you glad just little acorns fall off the trees, you know? And God is so creative. I mean, you know, the banana's got the tab on it, you know. The apple, aren't you glad an apple's not that big? Aren't you glad an apple's just like that? I mean, God is so creative. Everything, I mean, the tree has some symmetry to it. You yourself, I mean, we're made in the image of God. You know, the threes, the triunes. Check yourself out. You're made of multiple threes. You're created in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're a body, you're a spirit, soul, and body. You know, what is it? One, two, three sections. Three joints and everywhere. I mean, it's all amazing. And he said they're just denying the obvious. All right. Now let's look at something tonight. And boy, I'll tell you, this is pretty tough stuff. But I got something in the news that just, I can't believe how the news happens when I'm preaching through sometimes. And it just got me. Verse number 25. Here we go. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it. Who besieged it? The Assyrian army there, King Ben-Hadad. Until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And then he said, go, God do so and more also to me. If the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. That is one of the wildest passages of Scripture you will ever read in the Bible. Let me say, first of all, this is Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and they never had one king. They rebelled. They had idols. The start of their nation, the start of their existence was in total rebellion against God. They never had one king that did right, ever. Of all the kings they had, never had one king that loved God, wanted to do right. And they're in an early stage. Now, I want you to take Israel on one side tonight. I want you to take America on the other side. Now, I'm not a pessimist. But I'm going to tell you something. This Bible is going to come true. And the prophecies of God's Word is going to be fulfilled. And if God put you and I in those days, we just will smile and be glad and look for the chariots of fire. But I'm telling you, God is consistent. And God judges nations that go away from Him. And what you're seeing here is the early stages in Israel of God's judgment for their sin and rebellion. I want you to take your Bibles to Deuteronomy. First of all, go to Leviticus chapter 26. Now, as I said, I want this to be a Bible study, a Bible. Brother, folks back there, where are y'all from?
New York.
Well, come on in. I had to tease you there a little bit, Jim. Amen. So somebody scoot over and let Jim sit down. The kids all stand right there. But anyway, Leviticus 26, and I want you to look at verse number 29. 26, verse 29. Everybody there, I want you to look at that in your Bible. Leviticus 26, verse 29. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, God is telling them the chastisement that He will bring in the future. And they're just a brand new nation come up out of Egypt. Going through, and God is giving them the law out here at Sinai, and He's giving them all His statutes. And you know what He's telling them? He's going to tell you something. If you as a nation get away from God, and He gives a whole list of things that constitutes getting away from God, one of the judgments that He promised them was in verse 29, Ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God said, if you get away from me, one of the things that will happen, among others, and you need to read those passages of Scripture, is that you'll eat your own children. Isn't that crazy? Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's go to verse 49. Again, this is a second account of the warnings of judgment that God gave Israel that would come on them if they got away from God and left the Word of God and left the Lord. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I want you to look at verse number 49. Verse number 49. And we're going to have to skip down through this, but you ought to read this sometime you get home. Verse 49, the Lord shall, by the way, verse 47 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart to the abundance of all things. God said, I'm sick and tired of you coming out the temple with your smirk and frowns on and your sold up spirit and come down here to worship me. I'll give you everything you, all you want to eat. I'll give you a wonderful country, give you a land. You come in to worship me and you're all sour headed. I'm sick of it. God said, because you come in here to serve me with a smirk, a frown on your face and a sorrowful spirit all the time, I've had it. Woo! Say amen right there. Come on now. You ever hear me say you ought to come in here with a smile and joy of the Lord? I mean, hey, I know. Listen, if your dog got run over, that's something to cry about. I understand that. Cat got killed. That's a tough deal. But anyway, other than that, you ought to come in here and smile. Amen. You ought to have a good attitude. But verse 49, look what the verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Well, that's what God was doing. He brought the Assyrians in. Look at verse number 52. Verse 52. There. He said, and he shall do what? Besiege ye. That's what the Assyrians are doing. Thee and all thy gates until thy hind fence walls come down where thou trustest throughout all the land. And he shall besiege thee and all thy gates out of all thy land. The Lord thy God hath given thee. Look at verse 53. Did I read that?
Yeah.
Okay, I got that. All right, now, let's go to verse number 54. And he said there, so that, well, anyway, okay, 50, I'm sorry, thank you. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thy, he said, when they come in and siege you, this foreign country comes in and sieges you, and he said, they break through, he said, thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness thereof, thine enemies shall distress thee. So that a man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother. You know why he's looking at him? He said, he looked good. I mean, they're looking at each other thinking how tasty they might be. That's how bad it got. I'm going to tell you what, I mean, he said, well, he ain't worked very hard. His muscles is more tender. He'd be more tender eating. And that old boy, he's been swinging an axe all his life. You say, Reggie, this is crazy. We laugh about it, but it's the honest truth. God said, I'm going to make it happen when you get away from me and you leave the Lord. Look at verse number 55. And 56, 57, he said, so that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherein thy enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for one of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in the gates. You know what it says there? It said a woman who, she was high class and she was something else. You know, she was a Hollywood celebrity. God says she'd start looking at her own husband, thinking about killing him while he's sleeping to eat him. She'd go in there in the bedroom of her kids and look at him, thinking about eating him, and she'll eat her. If she's got a little baby, she'll eat it. That's how refined the society was. I've always said it's amazing that we're so refined. You know, we wouldn't kill a hoot owl or a kangaroo rat, but we'll kill our own children. That's where we're at in this country. America's like Israel. It's been given God's word. It's been blessed, and it's also been warned through the word of God. And America's like Israel is, I believe, today. How many's ever seen the deal now that's out by this Jewish Rabbi Kahn, K-A-H-N? Has anybody seen it? It's called the Harbinger. It's a judgment based upon Isaiah 9:10. If you have not read the book, now you'd be better off watching the film than the book. The book's kind of like a fictionist type deal. But I'm telling you something, Isaiah 9:10 and 9:11, he takes you through nine prophecies that has been fulfilled to the T, even a tree that was knocked over by the, when the towers come down, even by the granite that was replaced there, and he'll tell you where America's at in the judgment. It's following the same way that Israel was. You get a chance to see that. I thought about showing it here in church. Brother Dennis gave it to me there. I'd read the book, and it's something else. By the way, this Jewish rabbi is a Christian, though. He's a saved Jew. He's a saved Jew. And it's amazing what I'll tell you this right now. If he's right, and it looks like he is, I mean, it's on, buddy. It's on. Well, what had Israel been doing to bring this kind of judgment? They had turned from the true God. They had rejected the word of God. They were into massive immorality and adultery, into perversion. The Sodomites had houses next to the house of God. The country was full of false prophets and false priests who were lying to the people and telling them what they wanted to hear rather than what they should have heard. They were worshiping a false pagan god called Baal, which basically is now our sports system and our public education system. I mean, tell you what, people pretty near kill you for it. I mean, it's the god that nobody better say, nobody, everybody better fall in line with that one. And then not only that, but they offered their own children to this god Baal in the Valley of Tophet. And literally, did you know that archaeologists have dug up these here clay jars with little bitty babies in them by the hundreds over in the Mideast? Part of their sacrificial system where they sacrificed their own children and gave their children to their gods. Well, we know what we're doing. We're giving our babies to the god of pleasure. We don't want the responsibility of raising children. And we want pleasure without responsibility. So we're going to kill the baby so we can go back to doing our drugs and having sex again. Yeah. We don't want to have to change that diaper. We don't have to love that child and feed that child and nurture that child and take care of that child. So we're going to kill that baby. We're doing the exact same thing that Israel did. And they were giving their baby. They had a god about down there in the Valley of Tophet. And he had arms like this. It was a brass god. It also had a clasping mechanism to it. And when it was tripped, it would take that baby and they would offer that baby in that fire. And they'd pull that baby in his arms and he would throw that baby up like that. And that baby would literally be burned to death alive in the arms of that false god Baal. And the Bible said they made their children. You read your Bible. They made their children to pass through the fire. Also, they were into idolatry. They had carved out a god to suit their mind and to suit their lifestyle. And they were given to covetousness and materialism. You can read over through the prophets what they were doing. So what did God do? He sent enemies and adversaries to conquer them in the siege here. And this is the early stages of it. He sent a great famine through the siege. Let me give you some things, first of all, and you see if you can't see this in America tonight. Number one thing he did was he sent inflation into their economy. He messed with their prices. You say, Reggie, how do you get that? Well, whenever you're paying 80 pieces of silver for an ass's head to eat, that's pretty high prices. How much was it for a fourth of a cab of dove's dung? 5 pieces of silver to eat dove's dung? Can you imagine going up in the barn loft and scraping off that pigeon manure and eating it? Did you know it got so scarce that you could go up and get it and put it in a little old cab and sell it for 4 or 5 pieces of silver? I'm going to tell you something. Inflation hit that town. Amen. Can I tell you something? That's why your dollar's not worth a dime right now. That's why the more you work, the less you can buy. And not only that, as the government prints money, your wealth becomes less and less and less. And that's the way they're handling the deficit. And they're just printing money like it's going out of style. And then on the backside of it, they're taxing you to death. Let me tell you something. You talk about inflation. Was it not about, what was it when Obama took office? About $1.70 for gas? $1.80, is that right or not? You tell me what gas is tonight. $3.40, and that's 4 years ago. Now you tell me, God, that the judgment of God is not on this nation, and I'll tell you it's in everything else that you're doing. By the way, gas is involved in transportation, and everything you buy, eat, smell, look at is transferred, and that money of that gas is passed on to everything you're doing. Makes everything else higher. I don't care if it's the same price as it was 5 years ago, it cost more to ship it, so the price got to go up. But that's not the case in any of that either. They have inflation on it. Their economic woes were only starting, and our economic woes are only starting because of our sin. I want to tell you something. The almighty dollar is not almighty. Yeah. Now, I'm not a prophet of doom, and I'm not worried about it. And I ain't going to go home tonight and wrestle back and forth on my pillow. I'm going to go home, go sleep, forget it. I ain't worried about it. But I'm going to tell you something. You as well to get kind of prepared and understand. Don't lay your treasures up on earth where moths and dust crust corrupt and steal, thieves break through and steal. Because I'm going to tell you something. They're stealing it while you're sitting in church tonight. They're making the dollar you have worth less tonight than it was yesterday. So you're being stolen from. Somebody said today that a dollar in 1980 some is worth about 47 cents tonight. Purchasing power. So what I'm saying to you is, one of the first things out of the hatch is, God said, I'm going to affect their economy. Our economy is being affected. How many understand that we are just it could just crash like nobody's business. I mean, everybody was shocked when Lehman Brothers crashed back there four years ago. I'm going to tell you, everybody thought that was, you know, everybody thought, oh, that's a big deal. I'm going to tell you something. How many of the Lehman Brothers are there out there tonight? You don't know their books. You don't know what's behind there. You don't know how many bad loans they've got, how many bad situations, how much pillage has been going on. Somebody said, well, Reggie, wait a minute. Stock market's just shooting up, up, up. That's right. I think the sharks are fixing to close off. They're pulling the little minnows in all over the United States again. It's fixing to happen again. That's what I believe. They get that thing rolling up and everybody, oh man, they're making money. He made 10,000 last week and it stopped. So the little minnows go swimming in to the pool. And then when they get enough minnows in the pool, the big sharks come in and swallow them up. And everybody's sitting out there in the country going, oh my goodness, I lost everything. So it was their prices. First of all, their economy. Look at the second thing, their wretched eating. First of all, God wrecked their economy. Next thing he did, he made their eating wretched. And that is their palace, what they're eating. Did you know what was on the menu for tonight at the restaurant? Ass's head, which is unclean, dove's dung, which is unclean, and human flesh. Three course meal here. You say that can't happen. Let me tell you something. God wants to turn the water off on this nation. That's what he did with it. Wait a minute. Wait, that's what he did in Israel, didn't he? He turned that water off. I'm going to tell you something. Can you imagine what it'd be like in this country if God really dries this place up? God has been merciful to America tonight. Every time it rains on America tonight, it is the mercy of Almighty God. Because I'm going to tell you something. God shuts the water off and the cattle are bawling in the fields. And I'm telling you what you talk about. You'll see dead cattle. You'll see cattle out here on the right of way with skeletons. You'll see dead cattle laying everywhere. You'll see chicken houses shut down. They ain't got any feed to feed them. Every turkey house will be shut down. I mean, tell you what, folks, listen, there won't be anything to eat. You say, Reggie, you think that's coming? I think it's coming. I really do. I don't know when out. And you say, Reggie, no, I'm not one of those. You know, I'm probably just going to say, Lord, I was going to trust you. But I ain't going to get all nervous about it. I just think God's consistent. And we can look for economy, inflation. We can look for food shortage. You know what's amazing? That nation had decided that they like to eat filth in their minds, in their lives. They like the filth of immorality. They were into vileness and perversion. And God says, you know what? You like to eat filth mentally. You like to practice filth physically? I'm going to give you filth to eat. And I'll tell you something. When you're eating bird manure, you're in pretty bad shape. And then when you get so degraded, and that brings me to the next thing, that's the reprobate thinking in their mind, their passions and their practices. Right had become wrong, and wrong had become right in that country. You know what's interesting? Let me hang on to that a little bit. They were corrupt. They were abominable to God. They were perverse in their actions. They were satanic. Watch this statement. So we boiled my son. You what? Can you imagine two women discussing and one of them saying, hey, listen, I got an idea. What's that? You got a baby? I got a baby. Let's kill your son tonight. Let's boil him and we'll eat him. And tomorrow night we'll boil my son and we'll eat him. What in the world has happened to people when they get to thinking like that? Can I tell you something? When Claire McCaskill, and I want to make sure this is on tape. When Claire McCaskill come out and said that she's for same-sex marriage, that just shows she's a reprobate. She is a pure, rotten reprobate. She is not worthy to set her feet in Washington, D.C., much less the Missouri State Capitol. That is filth, Claire. That is filth. She's perverted. By the way, she's just as perverted as these two women right here. That's just as nasty, just as wicked. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the whole Democrat Party right now, and some wannabe Republicans. Let me tell you something. That is garbage, that is filth, that is reprobation, and somebody needs to preach against it in this country. Don't you? I expect Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton any day to get up and say, the Bible says. Well, this country is full of reprobate preachers too, who'll say nothing about nothing. These women, watch this, are eating their own children. God said that in the latter days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3, you know what the Bible says? That they will be without natural affection. Brother, if we've ever been to a time of without natural affection, it's right now. So I say that America is lining up with Israel in their judgment. Without natural affection. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You're messed up when you start eating your own kids. Did you know what the Bible will teach you? That you sacrifice yourself for your children. You don't ask the children to sacrifice for you. You do anything you can. You be the first one to die. You be the first one to starve to death. You let the kids have the last piece of bread. You let the kids have the last apple. You don't eat your kids. You talk about the epitome of selfishness. Selfishness. Eat your own children. Now let me tell you something. They're so crazy and messed up. I wrote this in my Bible a couple of years back when I was reading this. This woman is so messed up in her reprobation that killing and eating the child doesn't bother her. Do you know what bothers her? She got cheated out of eating the other child. She is so messed up. She is so reprobate that eating kids, eating her own children, doesn't bother her. But what bothers her is she can't eat the other lady's baby. That's how it is in America right now. Everything's backward. Everything is upside down. Crazy. You think, how can people think like this? I want you to put this name in your brain tonight. Kermit Gosnell. Kermit Gosnell. You need to go and read the story of what's going on at a court case in Pennsylvania right now. And I have never seen such cowardice, such hypocrisy from MSNBC, CNN, and all the liberal news media will not say a word about this court case going on. How many has heard about Gosnell? You know about him. Raise your hand. You know, it's almost a shame that more of you haven't, but the only reason you have is because Kirsten Powers wrote an article about the silence of the news media on the biggest story in America in the last 10 years, maybe the last 50 years, maybe since World War II, maybe since the Holocaust, the biggest story, and the news media won't touch it. And they're setting up there at a courthouse in Pennsylvania right now trying a doctor, an abortion doctor. And you know how they got him? There was a report of illegal drugs being sold through this abortion clinic. And so the FBI or whoever authorities went in there. And you know what they found? They found blood all over the place. Bloody blankets, bloody sheets. A cat running around through the clinic with flea. It was flea infested. Cat manure. Urine smell. Jars with baby's feet in it. Jars with complete babies in them. Milk containers with complete babies. Orange juice container with complete babies in them. Filth. Human filth. An abortion clinic. Come to find out that since 1972, this man has been killing babies after they're born by what's called snipping. And one of his assistants testified this week in court that he said we were literally beheading live screaming babies. Two women died as a result. There have been women that's caught venereal disease all over that country up there. They came in out of state to him because he would perform live births and kill the baby for you. He's under 7 counts of murder. He could be sentenced to death. It is the nastiest filthy. Let me tell you something. No, the pro-abortion people, they're calling the news media. Listen, don't go up there. Did you know what? In the news gallery. Listen to me. In the news gallery. There was one reporter, they said, the first day sitting in the news gallery. One reporter. You know why? Because the news media and the pro-abortion people across America and the politicians who are for abortion like Joe Biden and your president and the whole rest of that crowd, they told people, don't go down and cover that trial and do not do any reporting on that trial. awfulest thing I've ever heard tell of and seen in my life. And we think that we have something. We think we're America. It's no wonder. I'm telling you something. When I read this, brother, I'm going to tell you something. There's an article in The Atlantic, and you ought to read this thing. It goes into detail. I'm telling you, it's awful. I told, didn't ask Karen. I said, Karen, you have got to come and read this. This is absolutely unfathomable what's going on in this nation. Beheading babies. One of the babies was born. You know what he was doing? He took 15-year-old girls, teaching them how to be assistants. He didn't even have trained, licensed nurses working in there. He would train young girls to come in there, teach them how to give anesthesia, teach them how to, the whole stuff, so he didn't have to pay nobody nothing. And guess who is paying for the abortions? You and I. Through taxes, pay money that goes to Planned Parenthood, and it goes to pay for the government paid abortions. The taxpayers of America were paying for the murder of these babies. You know what one assistant testified this week and said? That there was a boy born, and he said it was a very large boy. And he said he was alive. And he said, this doctor said, he's big enough to walk me home before he killed him. Took scissors, and they take right in at the base of the skull and go in there and snip the spinal cord. You tell me we're not in trouble? You think God's going to wink at this? You know what? You say, Reggie, why ain't God done anything? Let me tell you what's happening right now. God is letting the American people know the atrocity of our sin. And if America does not repent, we're going straight into judgment with the knowledge of our wickedness. God help us. The child molesters, I was hoping that Ben Carson would stand, but he backed up this week. Ben Carson said in a news interview, he compared sodomy with the pedophiles and the men-boy stuff and all the lowest trash, filth, scum out of hell you've ever heard of. He compared it. He said, is this where we're going to bestiality? Are we going to marry animals to people next? And the queer crowd come at him, and John Hopkins University, of which he was a staff member, said they're not going to have him speak at their commencement because he said that. He held tight for about 2 or 3 days, and finally about on Thursday last week, he apologized. Now he's declined to speak. And I want to tell you something. I said, God, I was praying for him. I'm telling you, I was praying for him, because you get that kind of pressure on you, it's not easy. You want to be accepted. No, he's used to being accepted in those high circles. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're going to have some guts, some backbone like nobody's business. Let me tell you how it's going to stay, Ren. Did you remember in John chapter 18, verse number 28, when Jesus was being tried? Did you know the observant Jews would not go in the hall because it would defile them on kind of a high day and the Passover? And they had the Passover lamb right in front of them and didn't know it. Here's what I'm telling you. They were so holy and religious, they wouldn't go in Pilate's judgment hall for fear of defiling themselves for their religious ceremony the next day. But it didn't bother them a bit to kill the Lamb of God. That's what kind of mindset we've got today. You know, it makes me sick to hear Planned Parenthood and all that crowd talk about that they're protecting women. They are not protecting women. They're the most atrocious haters of women that there ever was. They're reprobate. Now, I know that you know these things, but let me give you the last one here. Maybe not the last, but in verse number 26 and 27, misplaced trust and confidence. Look at what it says there. And he, the king, said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press. Now I want you to learn something right there. When God's judgment comes on the nation, the government can't help you. Are you hearing me? Here they are. They can't eat. They're messed up. They're in trouble. And they appeal to the, oh, king. And you know what the king says? I can't help you. I want to tell you something. It's going to be there's about 52% of Americans going to find out one of these days that their little god, the government, ain't going to take care of them whenever the famine comes. By the way, I want to show you how corrupt this guy was. He mentions God in this phrase there. He mentions God. But watch this. Does it seem ironic to you that he never said a word about a vicious murder that occurred, that was told him, that was confessed to him by two women? Ding, 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 ding. You're talking about a corruptness of the rulers of the land. That's just like right now. Babies being killed everywhere. What they want to do? They want to make it where sodomizing, you know, do whatever they think do is fine. That's upside down reprobate. Can I tell you something? You can like this or lump it. An illegal alien is an illegal alien. He is outside the law, and he ought to be subject to the law. Now, the Bible is very clear that we ought to try to take care of strangers. But, buddy, they ought to come in the same way that anybody else comes in this country. And it's funny to me that the law, that they want to they want to make the law stand whenever we're going to pass a law that we can abort babies. We're going to pass a law where queers can get married. But we don't care about the law when it comes to illegal immigrants. Now, watch this guy. He's just got through being, he's the king. He's just got through being told by a woman that we murdered a baby last night. He never even counters. He never even addresses the fact that she's confessed to a murder. That's how messed up they are. That's how messed up our rulers are. God is going to let this nation of blood-sucking parasites who's taking checks of every kind from everybody they can get in programs here and programs there, He's going to let them know who's God after a while. Amen? We think we don't need God. We've got the government. But I'll say this to you. As far as I'm concerned, that's a bunch of boot-licking socialist dogs and hogs that have lined up the trough of the public treasury, filled up by the sweat and labor and wealth of people that are working out here day by day. And God's going to bring it to an end someday. And then the last thing you'll see in verse 30 and verse 31, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. That means he tore his clothes. And he passed upon the wall. Now that's interesting. Now watch this. Because I'm going to show you some hypocrisy. And I'll say this to you. I'm tired of the hypocrisy. In this film that Dennis gave me the other night about the harbinger, about this Isaiah 9:10 judgment, you know what this Jewish rabbi says? And he shows you how that all across America after 9/11, everybody went to church and everybody sang, and he shows all the people in the groups that sung God Bless America. But he said, not one time did you hear any American say that America needs to repent. He said, because America has not repented. We want God's blessing without repenting of our sin. What God was doing was calling us to repentance. We said, we're not going to repent. But we still want God's blessing. He said it's not going to work. It didn't work for Israel. It's not going to work for us. But watch this. He went up on the wall. I want to show you his hypocrisy first of all. And his people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. And you know what this guy was doing? Now, I want to tell you who this guy is. He's the son of Ahab and Jezebel, the wickedest king and queen that ever ruled on the throne of Israel. And he's putting on a show. He got up that morning, said, I'm going to take a trip up on the wall, and I'm going to find some cause to rent my clothes, because you see, that's a sign of what? Now watch this. This is a sign of religious, deep repentance and sorrow. So he rends his clothes, but what's he show them underneath when he rends his clothes? Sackcloth. And you know what he's saying? That he is fasting and praying and mourning before Almighty God. And he's talking to him. He's using God in his conversations. But watch this. And I'm going to tell you, and this is the part of this passage of Scripture that absolutely rung my bell like an old school bell. Watch what he does. In his religious parade of having sackcloth, mentioning God, rending his clothes, acting like he's really going to seek the Lord. Look what he does, and it's happening in America. Verse 31, then he said, God, he uses God's name, do so, and more to me, also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Now, if there's ever some prophetic things, you better watch out right there. This king is putting on an outward show of worship to Jehovah, while he's blaming the godly people of the nation. It's going on right now. You can't find anything else in the news. You can find out that there is an open disdain for Bible-believing Christians and for our Judeo-Christian heritage, and they act like we are the problem for everything in this country. I want to ask you tonight, who do you think that Obama thinks is probably his worst enemy in America is? Who do you think the liberals, who do you think Nancy Pelosi and all that crowd and Reid and all them guys that pushing all this and Claire McCaskill thinks is her worst enemies in Missouri? Oh, Bible-believing Christians. All the while, they go to church. Isn't it amazing? The other day, Obama went to church. He went to church and the preacher got up and he preached about us people, that we want to put everybody back. You read his sermon? You ought to read a little excerpt of his sermon that he went to. Obama went to church the other day and this liberal preacher got up and he condemned people who believe the Bible and condemned people who believe in Americanism and condemned people who believe the truth of God's word and who believe in righteousness. He said, you want to put the gays back in the closet and you want to put the blacks back at the bus and can I tell you something tonight? There is not one iota of comparison between the civil rights movement of the black people and queers. And I'm sick of them telling us that that's something that ought to be. There's no comparison to civil rights for black people or any other kind of people and queers. Queers is sin. Now you listen to me, this is what's coming. Now ain't this weird? You know what? If you're in that same chapter, guess who it was who was telling the king where the Assyrians were camped out all the time? Remember in his closet? He said, somebody's telling the secrets of where we're moving around. And you know what they told him? Elisha's doing it. And Elisha was telling the king of Israel. Who was that? The very same man that's wanting to take his head off right here. In the same chapter, Elisha was being a blessing to his nation. This book and the people of this book are a blessing. That's what made this country the greatest nation. That's what brought our freedom. That's what brought our prosperity, was those people who adhered to this book and let set forth the principles. Did anybody hear what Bill Maher called the Constitution this week? Couldn't say it from the pulpit. Don't want to. But in short, he cursed the Constitution this week. And can I tell you something? Obama he thinks the same thing. He just ain't got the guts. It's just not politically expedient for him to say it right now. Harry Reid thinks the same thing. Nancy Pelosi thinks. Hey, don't cloud your eyes up, buddy. They hate that Constitution. They hate that Constitution. And you know why they hate that Constitution? Because that Constitution is founded upon the idea that there's a Creator. And that our rights are from the Creator, not from the government. And the government cannot take away those rights. And what they want to do is remove that idea of the Creator so they can hand out their rights. Yeah. It's amazing. He blames Christian people. Now you say, Reggie, how's that happen? Well, they're taking this week, Kentucky removed all 10 commandments out there. One county in Kentucky had left the 10 commandments up on their schools. This week they took them down. All across America, we've taken prayer out of school, we've taken Bible reading out of school, we've taken the 10 commandments down, we've removed God from every aspect of our lives. And now, you know what? You know what they're saying? Oh, it's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. These Christian people, you got to get rid of all. Now they don't want you preaching anywhere. Don't want you preaching on the street. Anything Christian, it's bad. He's blaming the Christian people. Hollywood, news media, the educators, the elites, they hate true Christians. It's an interesting thing that Jehoram's mother Jezebel said the very same thing about Elijah. God do so and more to me. I don't have his head tonight. She said that back earlier in that passage. He was living out his mother's thoughts and life, blaming godly people. Well, we're going to quit right there. I don't know if that was much like a Bible class or not. But what I'm trying to do is show you that this old book is telling you it's marching history right in front of you. That's what it's written for, is our learning, that we might have hope, that we might know what to do. And history repeats itself, and it's there. Amen? It's there. Reggie said, Reggie, you're on a warpath tonight. Yeah, I am. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to apologize for being against something that calls God a liar and teaches evolution. I'm not going to apologize for something that says, we don't want God in this place, and you can't pray here, you can't read your Bible here, and get out of here with your Christianity. I am not going to apologize for being against it as a Christian. That ain't right. I ain't apologizing for it. And by the way, the truth about it is, if you've got any guts to stand up for it, you know it'll cost you some people friendship too. Like, if you stand up against it, they'll even have a card you can sign up for and pass it out, put it in your billfold. You can be a card-carrying hater. Let's stand and go home. Amen.